You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
Now, there's been decidedly a few movies this year that were slated for theatrical release that obviously, for reasons that are very clear, did not get a theatrical release. And most of these movies I've seen on VOD and go, you know what, this felt like a film that could have come out on a VOD home release. Even Mulan, which is arguably the biggest of them, I was like, I could have seen this being a direct-to-streaming release, and I've never really said, oh man, I can't believe they didn't wait for theaters. Look, it's not like Love and Monsters is the greatest movie in the world or anything, but man, this felt like it would have been a super fun movie experience with a crowd. It's the first one of these I was like, holy shit, this is like Zombieland, but with like giant monsters.
Yes.
We needed this. This is it's the apocalypse, but the apocalypse can be fun. So, Love and Monsters, which is not coming to a theater near you, or if it is, it's coming out in a very limited extent, is a post-apocalyptic action romantic comedy film, according to Wikipedia, and I agree with all those things generally. Directed by South African director Michael Matthews. I know usually you're like, uh-oh, some guy you've never heard of, but in 2017 he directed a film called Five Fingers from Marseille that in an international stage was really well thought of and won a bunch of awards. Those things don't always work great when they come over to Hollywood. In this particular case, you got Dylan O'Brien playing Joel Dawson, and he's dating Jessica Henwick from Iron Fist. Already got a huge, they present him as kind of a nerd. I'm like, how in the hell did you get with Jessica Henwick if you're a nerd? I don't believe it already. But there's pretty much right after it starts, we see they're very cute together. They love each other, boyfriend, girlfriend, but they're both very young. But the monster apocalypse happens. There's a meteorite. They try and shoot it down, but all this nuclear waste comes down. And so everything is irradiated on Earth. But the only things that are directly affected by it, that we know of at this point, at least until the sequel, is cold-blooded creatures who mutate almost immediately into gigantic, huge, monster-sized versions of themselves, often with exaggerated versions of qualities that they already had. And so it switches to 7 years after this has happened. He's living with a group of older people, not older people, but people who look like they're maybe about 5 to 10 years older than him, of badasses living in a bunker. They've got strategies to survive, but even so, sometimes something comes along that takes one of them out. But he's been connecting on a ham radio with Jessica Henwick, Amy, who's about 80 miles away on a coastal colony. So they both know each other's alive. And finally, he comes to this thing. Even though he's a coward, they're like, oh, you're a coward. You freeze up when there's a monster. We all love you. But dude, you can't go out. You've got to be the cook. You stay here. He's like, I'm going to go. I'm going to walk. I'm going to go find her. I can't live this way anymore. So he decides, I am going to walk across this monster land and find my way. And along the way, he meets interesting people, most notably Michael Rooker as a monster hunter. He's basically playing the sort of the Woody Harrelson role from Zombieland in a way, but in a very different flavor to it. And his, yeah, for lack of a better term, adopted daughter, a young preteen girl.
Close enough.
Yeah, who's kind of a badass in her own right. And so the whole thing is his adventure fighting a series of giant monsters or getting just barely getting away from them. And a lot of pretty funny jokes. At least that's my take on it. I've got Davey.
Hello.
Luane.
Hey.
And Trevor.
Hello.
To tell me how full of shit I may be being right now. I hope they don't tell me I'm too full of shit, because I genuinely enjoyed the hell out of this. This put a smile on my face.
You may be full of shit, but not about this movie. It is fun as hell. It really is. I love the shit out of it.
Uh-oh, Davey's making that face. Davey's making the, I don't know, guys.
This movie's not bad by any means. It is fun. I wish I had found it funnier, and I wish, I heard the Zombieland comparison at the beginning, and at first I went, whoa, but Zombieland is, like, awesome. But also, Zombieland came out when I was, I saw it when I was a teenager, so maybe that's why I think it's so good, but something about this movie, maybe I wish it was R-rated. Maybe that's the biggest thing for me, because one of the writers of this movie is Brian Duffield, who just did Spontaneous, which was, like, one of the big surprises of this year for me. Like, I love that movie. I've already seen it twice. And I think I just wanted more of kind of this similar energy to what that movie's doing. I wanted it to be funnier, and I wanted it to be a little snarkier almost. It feels too optimistic and kind of naive for me in how it is being a monster movie. I don't know, I felt like I just wasn't connecting with it, but it's not a bad movie by any means. It just didn't hit me the way that I really wanted it to.
No, I think it's a fun action monster movie. I think it works on that level. I'll even say it's not as good as Zombieland, and the Zombieland comparison is going to come up. It's not a ripoff. It's not something where I said, oh, well, Zombieland did it first, but there are a lot of similarities, and it's going to draw a lot of comparison, but I think the biggest thing that you can take from that is if Zombieland is in your lane, this is definitely going to be something you're going to like. And I'll even go so far as to say I think I liked this a lot better than I liked Zombieland 2.
Ooh, so I'm that weird guy who likes the second one better than the first one.
I don't like the second one better, but Zombieland Double Tap is a good movie.
But I think it sits right in between there for me. It's not quite as good as Zombieland 1. And admittedly, I saw Zombieland 1 when it came out at a festival, you know.
Yeah.
So that's a really special memory for me. And it's you've got festival goggles on. You're walking in loaded. And yeah. Really, at the time, we were kind of thirsty for a big-budget zombie comedy. This one, the lore works a little differently. You don't go in preloaded knowing what zombies are. And so you, as the audience, go into the world. So there's a little more world building here, which I think takes a little more time. Yeah. But I think one of the things I enjoyed the most is while the protagonist is acerbic and sarcastic, it's usually a self-dig. He's usually busting balls on himself.
Yeah.
And it's not just 2 hours of them busting balls on each other, which to me gets tiresome.
Oh, yeah.
And so the fact that he A, does that, and B, is so likable. Like, the character is intended to be just intensely likable. Everybody likes this kid. I think really helps, and the performance certainly shows that.
Yeah, I will say, and I no one is going to watch this who's seen Zombieland and say, these films are nothing alike. Of course they are. Yeah. And Zombieland is, I think, the funnier film of the two.
Yeah.
And I think this film has, in terms of, especially in its third act, there aren't really any surprises. You're like, okay, I totally see where that was going in terms of what actually is happening. But in terms of all the visual elements and the way that you are, in fact, discovering this world and how it works along with him, that really gets your interest going and keeping you with the film. And man, there is a fucking Ray Harryhausen tribute towards the end of this thing that had me just a squee. Yeah. Is that a thing we say? A squee?
May as well. Sure.
I'll allow it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I love that. I just want to rewind, watch that again. That's so badass.
One of the advantages that this has over Zombieland, I hate to keep coming back to Zombieland, but it's kind of inevitable, is that with Zombieland, it's a zombie movie, right? You have zombies. The creature designs in this are amazing.
Yes.
And they look, I mean, they're not just cool designs, they're consistently good looking. Like, you know, I didn't do that. Is that, are they doing just CG? Is it, it doesn't matter. They're monsters and they look fantastic. The kids even got a line about how beautiful nature is when it's not trying to kill you. And you get to see that too. You know, because they filmed this in Australia, right? So they're already in a land where stuff is going to kill. I mean, I know where it's supposed to be. But
that whole continent is just pretty much death as a landmass.
Yeah, but no, it just, this movie just looks amazing. The creature design, the way the world looks after it's basically just been overrun by monsters. Because we don't really get into this in your description, but everybody lives underground, right? They've ceded the surface of the earth to everything, all these giant monsters. So the fact that he's even willing to go anywhere outside that isn't just to go out, find food, and come back is a huge deal, let alone the fact he's going to make this trip that, you know, takes you an hour, hour and a half in a car, but it's going to take him a week.
Yeah.
And he just does it. And as a hero, he's kind of interesting because he's not, I mean, they even have an excuse to get his shirt off at one point. He's not like a ripped action hero. He really feels like a kid who's he could survive, but he's not an action hero, right? I mean, I didn't really have any doubt whether he was going to make it, but yeah. they give you the possibility that he might not. It's very clear through the whole movie. A lot of times, pure luck is what keeps him alive. And I thought that was kind of interesting.
He's not quite as nebbishy as, say, Jesse Eisenberg is in Zombieland, for sure. they went a different direction. He's the guy, he's like, he might be end up being a badass if he can just get over this fear that he has that's almost like autonomic. It's not like he runs away screaming. He literally freezes and is trying to convince himself to stop. And it's kind of about him getting over that. And you like watching this transformation. This is a character that I want to follow and see more about. By the end, you're like, hell yeah, dude. Good job.
And I think it helps that, you know, it's not a canard. It's not, oh, he just has this fear because that's going to make the story interesting and give us conflict. They actually set it up. And so the arc and redemption there, I don't want to say too much, is very earned. You find out, you know, where this comes from and why it works and how it works. And it all just, you know, I'll go back to the word again, it all just feels really earned. This movie did a good job of setting things up.
Yeah. Now, there's a villain towards the end of the movie that if you don't realize is a villain right when they introduce him, welcome to your first movie.
Yeah.
Come on in. It's amazing. They project these images through light on a screen.
There's sound and colors and music. It's awesome.
It's like the movie thinks you're not going to figure it out, but you're like, come on, guys, I get it. I almost feel like there should have been a joke directly that we know you get it, because there is a certain degree of meta stuff here. It's not as much as Zombieland is, so it's not like super snarky about it. There's not like the, you know what I mean, there's not the self-awareness that has. So in some ways this isn't as funny. I mean, in Zombieland being one of the rare exceptions that proves that kind of humor done to excess can actually work on occasion. That and Deadpool are like the only two things I can think of where it did. But this, in pulling back, it's the right decision, because I feel like this actually has more heart than Zombieland in a lot of ways.
I'm gonna disagree with you there. Not to say that this movie doesn't have heart, but I think the thing that makes a movie like Zombieland, and also there are other similar films that kind of use the horror apocalypse comedy tropes things that have that kind of make you care a lot more about the characters than this did for me, because I cared about Dylan O'Brien even though I wasn't crazy on his performance. I just don't like him as an actor very much, but I cared about him. But unlike in a lot of these movies, he was kind of the only one I cared about. There wasn't the familial aspect that a lot of these movies have that gave me the heart. I cared about him and I cared about his colony back home, and everyone else I was like, I don't really find y'all all that interesting. I liked Michael Rooker's daughter, she was cool. Yeah. But,
and Michael Rooker, come on, he's Michael Rooker.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Rooker.
But you're not going to care about him.
Yeah,
I mean, he'll be fine. You don't need to worry about him.
Exactly. I never felt the need to. But overall, I didn't really get that emotionally invested in his goal, so I didn't really get the heart, and I think that's why I was hurting so much for the humor, because this movie has a, like it says, Love and Monsters, it has a lot of really cool, really interesting action, and it has a lot of heart, and if one of those two things doesn't work for you, like the heart didn't work for me, it's not gonna really hit you. I wanted more jokes in the place of the heart that just did not connect with me.
I tell you, they've been putting out trailers for the new movie Monster Hunter, which is an adaptation of the game, and I keep thinking, y'all should have just made this then.
Yeah, honestly.
Yes.
I think we all would have been happier in the long run. Although I'm really curious to know, I've seen very little marketing for this movie overall.
I was going
to
bring that
little up,
Chris, because yeah. I think this movie probably would have worked better on me with some skillful marketing, kind of whet my appetite, show me what's going on, get me a little into, because I hit this cold. I, you know, if I can, I will hit a movie cold.
Yeah, I had read the Wikipedia page. I hadn't even watched the trailer, but I was like, this looks like it could be pretty good. We'll see. Yeah. And so almost everything in here was like, I had no idea that that was what I was getting, and was very pleasantly surprised, because it was one of those days you're just not even in the mood to watch something, but fuck, I got to watch this movie. I'm running out of time. And then off the bat, that's, I was exactly like, oh, this is charming.
I can't tell you how hard it was to get through this movie. I had a bunch of technical issues that had nothing to do with like the production company screen or anything. It was just my schedule and everything else. And I was getting mad because I'm like, I want to finish this movie, man. I want to keep going. And there have been several movies I've reviewed lately where I've had similar issues. I'm like, God, I got to go back to that. This, I'm like, okay, I got like 10 minutes. I'll watch some more here and then I'll do this. I know that there's some heart missing for Davey. I get that.
Yeah.
But like, the only way this would have made me happier watching it is if I had been like a 17-year-old boy in love. Like, that would have been the only thing that would have made me even more excited, would have been, oh my God, dude, that would have been the only way for me to identify even more with him. Would be,
dude,
for
that
me
was
to
so
be
long ago. I feel like, yeah, Dracula, I reminiscing on Mina Harker. I'm just like, what? Or the original Mina. I'm like, well, I kind of remember that those were good days. Yeah.
God, I can't wait to be 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, that's like two generations ago worth of time for me, man. I don't know. Anyway, sorry.
Well, let's go to final thoughts. Luane, why don't you keep going into your final thoughts?
Like I said at the beginning, I love the shit out of this movie. I can't tell you how happy it made me watching this movie. And it wasn't just because a lot of the ones I've done lately have been horror and not good. But this movie just made me super happy. And there are so many other things I just want to talk about because they're so exciting, but I also don't want to ruin it for anybody who's going to see it because I want them to have that same experience. So we'll just call it 4.25 out of 5 Mavises.
Davey?
Yeah, I guess I'm the asshole here. And it's not even that, like, this movie isn't good, because it's, again, like you guys said, the production design is awesome. The world is, like, after Earth but good, which is a really, which is honestly a good compliment, because that's still a good idea, yeah. But it just looked like shit. So, like, imagine if that movie was made by people with talent.
Yeah, you think this movie has no heart. Jesus Christ.
Oh, trust me. I understand the difference between the heart not working and the movie being soulless. This is not a soulless movie at all. This movie has a lot of soul to it, and it's kind of a shame that it didn't really gel with me as much as I wanted it to. I mean, honestly, watch Spontaneous, because that movie is fantastic, and that's the movie, like, hearing you guys talk, I feel like everything that you are saying could apply to that movie more than this one, at least for me. And I wish that I had liked this more than I did. Again, I'm just not a fan of Dylan O'Brien as an actor. I didn't like him in American Assassin. I didn't like him in the Maze Runner films. Maybe he's just not for me. But a lot of the cast outside of Michael Rooker and his surrogate daughter, most of the cast just did not work for me, and I think that's a big part of what kept me from really connecting with this. But the action scenes are pretty good, the world is great, and I really wish that this should have played in an IMAX theater, because this looks pretty as all hell. So I'm gonna give it 6 out of 10 hearts that I do not have.
Trevor?
You know, I think that at the end of the day, this movie's good. It's fun. I enjoyed it. I had a great time. I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't expect to have as much fun as I did. But I will also say that it's not a movie that is so good that you're going to watch it on the streaming platform and then immediately tell five of your friends, you have to see this. Which is why I think there's a huge shortcoming in the marketing for this, because I think people who knew about it ahead of time would be interested and they'll check it out. I don't know what the word of mouth on this is going to be, though. I think it's... I watched it and I'm like, hey, that was pretty good. I liked that. I'd check that out again. And I've got laundry to do. And then I didn't think about it a lot afterwards. So, with that caveat, though, I think it's a fun movie. I don't know if it's necessarily a Halloween monster themed. I don't know that it's going to fit the bill for you for that.
It's not.
But it's
spoopy.
Definitely a. It's a. Listen, folks, if you like Zombieland, watch it. You're going to dig it. That's the bottom line. So I'm going to give it 7.5. Really charming. Lassie intelligent dogs.
Yeah, it does hit a lot of familiar notes along the way. There's not a huge amount of surprises, but the world building is in and of itself the pleasant surprise that keeps you guessing, keeps you interesting. The way he deals with each new problem as it comes along is interesting and keeps you guessing. Like I said, the bigger broad strokes are more obvious, but it's the details that make this thing just adorable and charming as all fuck. And I was, whereas, like I said, those bigger strokes didn't stick with me afterwards. The sense of like, man, I'm glad I watched that movie. That sense of charm stayed with me for like a whole day afterwards. I was like, yeah, that was fun. And I think it's exactly the kind of movie right now that maybe that I anyway needed, that was like, oh, this is a good palate cleanser, because I've watched a lot of really bleak horror. Jesus. I do too, but you know, sometimes you need a break, and this was that break. And I was like, yeah, I don't think it's as good as the Zombieland films, either one. But it's wildly creative. It's really fun nonetheless. And I could totally... I want you guys to go see this so they make a second one, which I think could be much better.
Yes.
I think they're like, oh, this did well. This could be a franchise. Well, let's call in a heavy hitter writer who liked the first one to come in here and make it everything it could be. Because I could see a sequel just blowing the first one out of the water. But I definitely want to see more of this universe. Dylan O'Brien, I'm like, he's passably charismatic. Right. I mean, I like the Maze Runner films.
Yeah,
kind of.
They're all right.
I'm like, I kind of like these. There are points where they're really good and there are points they're really bad. American Assassin was okay. I could have seen a lot of other actors in this role, but I never went, oh, you're terrible. This should have been someone else. I was like, no, he was fine. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. And I was never annoyed at it being him. I think overall, I'm going to come down right there with, two of you guys, and give it 7.5 out of 10 final bosses that made me crabby.
Boo.
Yeah, you know, so if I didn't take it, someone would have said it,
womp,
right?
Womp, womp.